You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Jake Volnick back with you guys here on Overtime. Coming up in about an hour's time, we're going to get a grip, as we always do at 9 o'clock as well. Matt Verderam, Sports Illustrated, going to be joining us coming up at 9:20. But right now, let's head out to the fan hotline. Browns are on a bye, but it doesn't stop the conversation surrounding them as we welcome in our weekly guest, our good friend, Coach Riz, Lance Reisland of Cleveland.com. Lance, what's going on?
Jake, how are you, buddy? I'm doing well.
Yeah, we're doing pretty good here, too. I mean, as weird as it is, as much as I love football, the week off almost feels relieving at this point with the Browns sitting at 2-6.
Well, yeah, because you've lost some games that you haven't played very well, and then you've lost a couple games that you could have won, and then obviously people are looking at things differently. And it's just hard right now because everything is so difficult for this team, especially on the offensive side of the ball. So, yeah, a little rest never hurt anybody for sure.
Yeah, definitely not. I'm imagining that they're going to be enjoying, a little bit of rest here. And obviously with this, Lance, usually in these moments, we like to sit here and preview the games. We're obviously not going to be able to preview anything, but I do want to take a look at just the way that things played out as a whole. We go back to last week, and you've been a big supporter of Dillon Gabriel. Last week was something that was just hard to watch. I mean, was not good through the air at all. What is the defense right now when Kevin comes out and he says, hey, Dillon's going to be our starter coming out of the bye? Do we agree with that decision still? How do you continue to go through and feel like Dillon is the guy that you want under center right now?
Well, here's the thing. They took him in the third round. They didn't take Shador to the fifth round. So obviously he was their quarterback. So I think they're going to give him a little bit more leeway, whether that's warranted or not. When I look at him through 16 quarters, I thought he made a lot more progression leading into last week than most people did. I thought he did some really good things. He's missed some throws. He's done some, boneheaded things, but he protected the ball. Last week, he didn't play well, and it was just kind of one of those, I think he's a rookie. Obviously, the things around him are not helping him, but I don't think last week that really the things around him hurt him. I just think he played poorly, made some poor decisions. The thing I was concerned about is he was late and didn't really do the things that I think he does really well, which is anticipate and read what he's seeing. He really struggled with that. They had a really good plan for him, and he struggled. Now, moving forward, I just don't think as poorly as he's playing, if you're trying to get an evaluation, I don't think 16 quarters is enough. And that's just my personal opinion as like a coach who's seen kids kind of go up and down. You would like him to get a kind of see what he's going to do now through the bat. Because last week, he's kind of been unimpactful, but not bad. Last week he was bad. Let's see how he responds this week, next week, and then you go from there.
So, Lance, how is it? Like, we talk about, obviously all those other things play a factor most weeks, and then in this week it doesn't. I mean, what contributes to that right now? I guess, are we looking at this more as, hey, if Dillon's just not getting the job done, or how much is Kevin playing into this as well?
Well, obviously I think they put a lot on his plate, and I think they thought they could. They're for a rookie third rounder throwing the ball 35 to 50 times a game just doesn't seem real conducive for success, regardless of either of those two are in there. It just doesn't seem really conducive. Now, once again, everybody's talked about, the offensive line. They've all had their hand in it. This is not the quarterback, as always, gets way too much blame, way too much credit. But for me, this is about Dylan now responding after he played poorly, because I think you can say offensive line, lack of run game. You can say all those things through his first three starts. This was a poor start by Dylan. He didn't throw it very well, and he was inaccurate, and he was late, and turned the ball over. So this is a big week to kind of see him react to that. And, we'll see what happens. But when in terms of how he's playing and the quarterbacks as a whole, it's going to be tough to get an evaluation on anyone unless the pieces around start playing a little bit better.
So then let's take a look at, obviously, the name people want to see right now is Shedeur Sanders. It's going to be hard to evaluate either way. Lance, what is it that you see out of Shedeur that may allow him to have some success if he's going to find it compared to, what Dylan's able to do?
Well, one thing that Shedeur does at a very, very high level when you go back to Colorado is he's really good under pressure. Obviously, he did not have any pass protection at Colorado, so he had to kind of manipulate and get rid of the ball quickly. So I think he can do that if they're struggling with pass protection, because he's used to that in the last couple of years. The other thing he does very well is he's a gamer. It seems like he really steps up in big games. He's fearless. When I saw him practice, I thought he practiced really, really well. Unfortunately, it's become Dylan versus, Shedeur, and I really don't think that's really the case. It's can the Browns find somebody that can manufacture or run the offense at a high level or just an adequate level? Because, as I was saying, this defense – in offense, and they're a quarterback away from being highly competitive in the NFL. And that's what you can't say about, when they talk about better jobs and worse jobs. This is not a bad job. They just got to figure out that quarterback position. And if I'm Shedeur Sanders, I'm excited because they're sticking with Dylan. And if they go with Shedeur, you would hope they stick with him through his ups and downs as well.
All right, Lance, and Lance Rice on Cleveland.com with us here on the Fan Hotline. Let's take a look at a little bit more of the offense and what we've seen through the first eight games. I know a big conversation, and obviously the questions start coming Kevin's way of, should you give up the play calling? Do you plan on giving it up? Are you still going to be calling the plays? Would it be a mistake in your eyes if Kevin were to let go of the play calling duties?
Absolutely. Once again, Jake, I'm going to say this biasedly as a football coach, but, as an offensive coordinator, I got the head coaching job, and I've seen a lot of head coaches when they get hired from being coordinators, they give up calling plays. And calling plays is why they got the job, whether it be on the offensive side or the defensive side of the ball. And being a CEO is now what you are when you're not calling plays. And I'm not sure if that's what Kevin really wants to be. He's a play caller. The reason he got this job is because of the success he had with the Vikings. So for me, I'm biased, but if my job's on the line, like everybody says that Kevin's job is on the line, then I want to call plays. I want to go down swinging with my stuff. And I've always believed in that. And I think he can continuously get more input. He's brought in guys that have tried to help. I have no doubts how hard Kevin Stefanski's working on trying to get this right. It's just really hard when you don't have the pieces and you're kind of reaching like we all have as coordinators. So I don't think he should give it up. And I think they should just stay the course and keep working positive. And keep working.
Lance, we look at a run game I know you're high on Quinshon at this point, the way that he's played. I think just about everybody is. You see, obviously, he goes through another week where the run game doesn't look good. They're not able to get things going. I mean, how do you get that to change at this point in the season? How do you make sure that Quinshon has the ability to continue to be, the premier back that it's looked like he's going to be?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And was not as high on him as I should have been coming out of Ohio State, especially when I saw him in person. Really thick lower body, really good football player. Jake, when they played the Dolphins, whether it was weather, whatever they thought, they went a lot more gap scheme, which basically means they're blocking down on one side. And that's when you get Teller and Postick blocking back and Teller and Batonio pulling out in front. And they're running the power and the counter and the pin and pull where you get those guards out in front. Then they went back to what they had been doing the first 6 or 7 weeks with just more of that straight ahead vertical duo where they're just trying to get big double teams and trying to really be forceful. And they haven't had a lot of success with that. So against the Dolphins, they went to more of that gap scheme. I thought they were going to stick with it, but they didn't. And maybe it's because of the odd front they got from the Patriots or whatever it may be. But I think that's their best answer. I think when, the easiest thing I talk about gap scheme, it's more of just like hair on fire. Everybody's got a job and just go do it. There's not as much thinking and the ability you're just attacking. So I think that would help if they had less thinking in their run game, went to some gap schemes, and just get off the football and get that big body downhill, because he's shown the ability to do that really, really well.
Lance, this week, obviously following the game, we heard Joel Bitonio talk about, hey, they basically just came out in base defense in it really didn't allow us to get an advantage the way that we like to, the way that we want to play the game. I mean, break that down for me. How big of an indictment is that on this offense? And should that be as difficult to counter as it felt like the Browns were, you know, struggling to do?
Well, I think it gives you the idea that everybody has their hand in the struggle of this offense. And obviously the quarterback will always get the blame, as he should. That's what you sign up for as a quarterback. But the lack of movement inside, the lack of tight end protection, as well as Njoku and Fannin has played. Fannin hasn't blocked particularly well in the run game. He's been just okay. Obviously the receivers haven't been very good. And Judy, who's their number one, has been, you know, you can argue he's been very poor. So just a combination. When they say, when Bitonio comes out and says, hey, it's refreshing because they're taking ownership. And the only way you can fix this is if everybody's on the boat. If you got people outside the boat, that's when bad things happen. Everybody's on the boat. It feels like they're all in it. They're all in agreement that they all have their hand in it. And they just got to keep working. You know, it was a different front they saw last week. The Patriots are huge inside. It wasn't going to be real successful in the run game anyway. When I heard him talk, I just thought, you know, it's good because they all know that they got to play better. It can't just be the quarterback. Everybody's got to help, including the quarterback.
So, Lance, let's talk about this thing a little bit more from the display of emotion that it looks like we're getting right now. Obviously, Miles goes out, has the 5-sack game, and then you see he's visually frustrated on the sideline. He threw his helmet. He's sitting on the other side of the bench. Is it, coach, is that something that, you know, as you see your star player do it, that bothers you on the sideline and that gets under your skin? Or do you understand?
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To a degree.
I do understand it to agree, and everybody's different. And sometimes when you go outside your character, which that kind of is for Miles, it kind of sets a precedent. Just like when Kevin said he yelled a little bit the Monday of the Miami week, right? He got a little bit after him on Monday. Sometimes when you do that and you don't do it all the time, then it has a little better effect for the team. For me, it's they should be frustrated. They're playing very poorly. They've given a couple, as bad as they've played, they've given a couple games away. They could easily have a couple more wins, and then they're right in the mix of everything. And that's kind of how football is. I don't really mind as long as it never affects practice. It never affects your ability to work. I've never seen Miles as someone going to watch practice every day. I've never seen Miles as a guy who thinks he's better than anybody else. He's right in the drills with everyone. He works very hard. It's okay for your best player to be frustrated as long as when they go back to work, they use it in that form. It's not a complaint. It's like, hey, I felt that in the defense. I don't think the defense has been mad at the offense. I think they're trying to do more, which in turn can make you play worse because you're pressing a little bit. But no, I'm not mad at it. As long as they went back to work, that level of frustration, you put in a lot of work and losing's not fun. So I'm okay with that.
So as a head coach, is that something that you would feel the need, especially at the NFL level, to address? Or do you just let that display of emotion go and then kind of move on from there?
Well, I would address it. You know, every coach is different. I would address it, and I would address it in a positive way because Miles is not a guy who does that. So it shows the level of frustration that a lot of those guys have. Now, I think when you're in Miles' case, you get to get away with a little bit more, which all star players do. And most coaches say that's not true, but that's really the case. Star players do sometimes get away with stuff. And for me, I would use that as a positive. I would have in my team meeting, I would say, Miles is frustrated. I think we're all frustrated. Let's take that level of frustration. Let's put it into our film study. Let's put it into our practice. The only thing they can do is go back to work. You know, talking about it, complaining about it, none of that helps. You have to go back to practice and you got to get better. And that's the only way you can turn around. There is no magical pill in football. You just got to go back to work, especially when things are down, because it's easy to go to work when you're winning. Right now is when you find out. This is when teams fold because they kind of give in when things are bad. Teams that kind of rebound are the teams that go, you know what, we're going to fix this. And hopefully that's where the Browns are at.
And Lance Reisling, Cleveland.com with us here. Lance, obviously, trade deadline now just a few days away. I mean, how much does this impact the actual guys in the room based on what happens at the deadline by Tuesday? If you see, you know, players like a David Njoku or a Wyatt Teller get picked off this team, you know, to get draft capital or somebody else back, how much does that change the feeling in the locker room and the way these guys feel going into the rest of the season?
Well, for me, I think it's a killer. Now, obviously, I've always worked at the high school, college level. You know, last couple of years working at the NFL level in terms of the 53-man roster and how the NFL works. You know, unfortunately, tough decisions are made. I've never been a big believer in that, and you can't tell me getting rid of Njoku or Teller or Betonio, whoever you want. If you're getting rid of your leaders, you're basically telling the team you're throwing in the white flag, and that's. And when you want to talk about culture, and the culture is the most overused word in the game of football, that's a culture killer. You've basically said, we've given in, we're gonna build towards something, you know, new in the future. And that's really hard to respond, especially if you're an older guy. If I'm Joel Petonio and they say that, why am I going out there and laying my body on the line? And they've kind of thrown in the white flag. So I understand why they have to do it, and I'm kind of learning that myself at the NFL level. But I don't agree with it, and I don't think it helps your football team at all.
So I guess, Lance, as we look at things, obviously, is this year, it feels like it's trending to be another year that was similar to last based on the way that the offense have played, the results that you're just getting in terms of your record. Does it feel like to you that internally Kevin Stefanski would be on the hot seat at this point?
Well, I would hope not, and I hope that that's not their mentality. I hope their mentality is to figure out they got an extra week of work to go get a Jets win. And if you have that mentality, you control what you can control. You got a chance to be successful. If anybody's worried about their jobs right now, if anybody's worried about throwing in the white towel, then they've already lost. And so the mentality has got to be, hopefully that's just all of us on the outside talking about it, and Kevin's only worried about what front are the Jets running, how do we attack their coverage, what do they do in the red zone, situational stuff. Because if you do that, you have a chance to turn things around. If you worry about things you can't control, then you have no chance because your focus is not where it needs to be. So I'm hoping that they're planning on winning the next game and then winning the one after that, and you keep going. And never lose a game before you play it and force yourself to go back to work, and that's really hard to do. But that's my hope as a football coach who's been a part of seasons that have really struggled. Somebody's got to be the leader and go out there and continue to push these guys. You're one or two wins away from feeling really good or feeling like you can turn the corner. As you know, Jake, in the NFL, it doesn't take long. Get a couple wins and you're feeling good about yourself.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Lance, I guess looking at Kevin specifically, like at least from the outside looking in, it obviously appears he's more of the X's and O's than the, you know, verbal leader that guys want to run through a wall for, right? How much more difficult does that make it for Kevin to prove his worth in this season? If we're looking at the offense and it, you know, we've talked about the lack of talent, if they continue to struggle, I mean, how much harder is it for a guy like that to do it than, say, a guy like Vrabel?
Well, you know, you stick to who you are. So for him, going out to practice, I've always said I've never thought they were physical enough. But one thing they are, their attention to detail, they're in and out of their periods. Everybody's running around. They're very coaches are coaching constantly, which obviously in the NFL they all do. But just to stay true to who you are, have your attention to detail. Make sure you're excited for practice. Make sure your energy's up. Make sure that you're designing stuff that everybody's on board with. Get input from your best players, especially on offense. Just stay true to who you are, and your hard work and who you are should kind of come to the front. Because if you try to go outside yourself, it's like asking Miles to be a rah-rah guy. It's just not natural, and it's kind of it doesn't feel right. So for him, Kevin being an organized kind of cerebral guy, that's what he's got to be, and just kind of even amp that up, make everybody feel the pressure. Everybody's got to work a little bit harder, but in a positive way, because he's not a get-in-your-face guy where Vrabel might tell his coaches, you know, he might challenge his coaches and things like that. Kevin's just got to stay true to who he is, and that will push them through.
Lance, I mean, last one here for you, and we'll get you out of here. Hey, as you look at the rest of the schedule, I mean, obviously you take it week by week, but how many of these games, truthfully, do you feel winnable that are left?
Well, I say this without hesitation. I think you can win them all. And I know people will send me messages and go, you're nuts. And maybe I am. But my dad, you know, I remember sitting in meetings with my dad on Sundays, and we would be getting ready for the next week. And we'd play this really, really outstanding team, a team that was much better than us. But my dad, by the end of the week, would kind of make it, whether we won or not, we felt we could win. And that's how I feel with the Browns. And I think when you go into practice like that, whether you win or lose, you lay it out there. You've not cut any corners. You're prepared for what you're going to see on both sides of the ball. Your team is prepared. They play really hard, and sometimes you just don't win, and that's okay. But that would be, for me, I think I don't look past the Jets. All my scouting right now is the Jets. For me, I'm looking, hey, I got an extra couple of days to look at what they're doing, and I'm sure the Browns are doing the same thing. So I say this from the bottom of my heart. I truthfully think they can win every game they play. And I think in the NFL, you do that. There's such a fine line. That's part of it. So, I think they can win them all. They just got to prepare and not let these losses beat them down.
Lance, as always, we appreciate you setting aside the time. Always good to talk to you. Enjoy your Halloween, my friend, and we'll be catching up again next week.
Absolutely, my friend. We'll talk soon.
No doubt about it. Lance Reisland, Cleveland.com, with us there on the Fan Hotline. We'll react to what Lance had to say and more coming your way here in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick right here on the Fan. Just got done talking to Lance Reisland at Cleveland.com. Always good stuff out of Lance. Always good to talk to him. Get a lot of insight culture-wise, quarterback-wise. And if you missed it, Odyssey Rewind feature will be up over at 92.3thefan.com as well. You guys can go back and catch what Lance had to say. But I thought there was a lot of good there, especially around the quarterback spot. I mean, I think, and Lance is obviously somebody who you can look at who is a through-and-through optimist, right? A lot of people would probably take me as a through-and-through pessimist, but Lance is a through-and-through optimist. He looks at the positive side of everything, and even he looked at Dylan Gabriel's play last week and was like, well, he just didn't play well. Like, there's a lot of reasons why he hasn't performed over the first four games. That one was pretty much on him. Like, there was a lot of just not getting the job done in a lot of areas where he can improve that wasn't just, well, he doesn't have talent, right? He struggled. He did. But I also, a conversation floating around today, it was basically on the idea that despite Dylan Gabriel's starter, despite the fact that Kevin has basically done nothing but prop him up and say not everything's his fault, and you know they like the development they're getting out of him and they need to see more, that Kevin's actually growing sick of Dylan Gabriel. And a lot of it stems from the idea of one clip that was on last night from Kevin Stefanski on the Kevin Stefanski show right here on the station. I just don't know that I'm hearing it the same way.
And you watch, as we do this week and during the bye week, you watch all these plays together and you're kicking yourself because it's one thing here and then it's one thing there where it's just stopping you from hitting those shots. They're there. They will continue to be there. But we have to do our job. Again, it's not a player thing. It's an all of us thing. We have to do our job in terms of making sure that everybody's where they're supposed to be, and then we can start to hit these shots.
Like, don't get me wrong. It's not an endorsement of Dylan Gabriel. Right, saying that, hey, well, I mean, the shots are there. We got to be able to take them. We have to be able to complete them. Certainly, and I think everybody would go through and pretty much agree that there are times we've all watched Dylan play. We've all gone through and pretty much watched these plays back over. And it's like, okay, no, there's open shots that Dylan can take and just hasn't taken. I think the bigger thing that Kevin's getting at here is more so the consistency of those plays. Like, it was more him picking apart the entire offense and telling you that it always feels like something is out of place. Like, they're just not being a cohesive unit at this point. That is always going to be there. It's, yeah, they're there. The opportunities are there. But guys, like, part of this also boils down to trust and being able to trust what you're seeing down the field, being able to trust that when your guy's getting open, that you're staring at him. If you're consistently not open, and then there is a play where you are open, yeah, I'm sorry, if my quarterback misses him, I'm going to get it. Like, I'm going to understand. And if it feels like it's constantly something different, then yes. Like, it's hard to actually trust in what you're seeing and trust your instinct of everything that you're viewing. You don't think, it's almost ridiculous to think that Kevin Stefanski is soured on Dylan Gabriel, because this is the first quote-unquote negative thing that we've heard about Dylan since the day that he walked in the building. We all looked around at a quarterback and went, earliest I'd probably take the kids in the fifth round, right? And for a lot of people, that was probably earlier than they would have liked. And most people talk about him like he would have been an undrafted free agent, even though that wouldn't have been the case. He would have been somewhere between like the fifth and the seventh round, I think, it is where most of the people who looked at quarterbacks and where they would have fallen would have actually put him. But either way, they took him in the third, and I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that Stefanski liked what he was able to do. Still feels very much through and through a Kevin Stefanski guy. Like, you're not just going to be able to stare at Dylan and go, okay, well, he was open on that play. Why didn't Dylan throw it to him if that's the first time in nine plays, nine routes that guy was open? Like, I'm sorry, I'm not staring down my receiver. If it's Isaiah Bond who's open down the field, if I'm like, well, let's see, if we recount the last nine plays, you weren't where you were supposed to be. You half gave up on your route. You were double covered another time. Like, I'm sorry that on play nine, I wasn't like, let me see if I can find Isaiah Bond somewhere down there standing at 5'10". Can I see Isaiah Bond? Oh, there he is. What? No, like, I'm basically giving up. And I'm going, where's Harold Fannin? Can I find somebody? Can I find my check down? Is Jerry Judy open? I'm going through all of those before I'm just going, where's Isaiah Bond? And it goes throughout everything. Like, I think you also get into moments where we've watched Dylan get rid of the ball too quickly, not see plays develop. And this isn't even a defense of Dylan Gabriel, but it's, I think, a fair explanation of some of what you're seeing. It's like, okay, well, if Dylan's getting rid of the ball too early, it's probably because you look around and we can all agree the offensive line hasn't played well. Is some of that affecting his internal clock? Is he trying to get rid of the ball because usually the pressure is there and you feel sped up? I'm sure. Like, there are so many things working against Browns quarterbacks right now that just go beyond, well, he's not seeing the field well and he's not throwing it. Like, he's just not completing passes. Like, as a quarterback, you have to find a way to overcome that. And it's not like I'm going to be sitting here going, well, Dylan needs to see eight more games of football, and he just needs to have better play around him before I can evaluate him. You're getting the evaluation that you're going to get. Like, Dylan has to find a way to step up and work through these moments. And when guys are open, he has to find a way to hit them. But I think if you just chalk it up to Dylan Gabriel's a bad quarterback and he's not seeing everything, it's also probably not a fair evaluation of the four games we've gotten of Dylan either. Like, part of what you saw of him being successful in college, guys, he had a great offensive line at the college level. He had talented wide receivers at the offensive level, multiple NFL guys, even if they're not like first round draft pick guys. He had guys that were capable of going to the NFL and being drafted. Oregon runs a really tight system. Like, everybody is practically where they're supposed to be. You can rely that I'm going to have time, especially when I'm going up against, you know, not Ohio State, but I'm going up against, oh, we have Northwestern this week. Yeah, I probably got all day in the pocket, right? I'm going to get to the second quarter and be like, I haven't been hit. I haven't seen a single defender in my face. I haven't had to do anything with my legs. This feels great. I can just sit back here as long as I want. In a lot of ways, he's correct. So, like, part of this is being sped up. And again, you can point back to the lack of talent on the offense and be like, it's contributing to Dylan's struggles in more ways than just, well, he got sacked. And it wasn't even his fault. Like, there was a free rusher off the edge. And, oh, well, Jerry Jeudy can't hold on to the football. Like, there's also factors that underlie there where you can understand, I think, your quarterback missing some guys when they end up being open. Because it also hasn't really felt like, in a lot of ways, like, I think we can go back to Joe in 2023, and this makes a lot of sense. Like, he had Amari Cooper, and Amari Cooper was incredibly successful when Joe was the quarterback. Why is that? Because I'm sure on almost every single play that Joe ran, he went, you know who I can trust? I can trust Amari Cooper. I can trust David Njoku. I know they're going to be in the right spot. I know if I throw a ball up, there's a really good chance that guy's coming down with it. And it is in another way where we talk about, oh, for, you know, young quarterbacks, your tight end ends up being your safety net. Your check down ends up being your safety net. In a lot of ways, you look at older quarterbacks too, and it's like, okay, even your wide receiver one in a lot of ways is your safety net. But Dylan doesn't have a guy outside of, okay, the typical, I'm a rookie quarterback, here's I can trust, because they're the easy throws type of safety net. And I think that also contributes to getting rid of the ball way too early and taking a lot of these short routes is that there's not a guy he feels like he can trust. At this point, I wouldn't be trusting Jerry Jeudy. Like, you have to go earn my trust. Like, in this team, you have to be able to trust Jerry Jeudy because it's not going to come from somewhere else in that wide receiver room. But Jerry hasn't exactly done anything to just say, give me a ton of trust. I get you the ball, and honestly, a couple of the best throws Dylan Gabriel has made as a Browns quarterback have been, hey, Jerry, go make a play, and I'll throw you a seed. You're going to have to make an athletic play to catch it. Like, I'm thinking of, I think it was third down, he threw to him, and had to have been a sliding catch, was initially ruled the catch, and I think that was his first start, if I'm not mistaken. What did Jerry do? Jerry dropped it. Like, the drops play into that. It's like, okay, well, every time you are open, and I do find you, and I do throw a nice football, you don't come through for me. I just don't think there's a ton of people there to trust. This isn't at all, I think, Kevin souring on Dylan. I think this is Kevin laying out the idea of, well, just, there's not a lot of things for Dylan to trust right now. And sure, he's missing things, but it does feel like a lot goes wrong right now, and we just have to get on the same page. Like, that doesn't change with Shedeur Sanders either. That doesn't change with any quarterback. There's still going to be a level of, I have to be able to trust the guy with me, and I have to trust that he's going to go make a play. I think you also hear that in the frustrated answer from Dylan Gabriel. Well, I cracked a joke online about it, and I don't necessarily agree with his comments. When he tells me, hey, it doesn't just have to be 30 yards through the air for an explosive play. Somebody can go make an explosive play. I think that's the frustration boiling over for Dylan, where it's like, okay, I'm making the reads. I'm getting guys the ball. And even when I do complete those passes, they're not helping me out either. They're all contributors to the fact that this offense has been bad and continues to be bad. And it's not just one area you can point to. It is a lack of talent and is a lack of execution across the board.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
216-474-0092. Do you feel like Kevin Stefanski's comments are indicative of him being fed up with Dylan Gabriel? I just don't see it. Plus, a wild, wild idea thrown out there that would not have the Browns turning to any rookie quarterback to solve their problem. We get to it in 5 minutes right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Get the latest from Browns practice throughout the week right now on our YouTube channel. Daryl Ryder recaps each and every practice and game while featuring the best highlights from coaches and players during media availability as well as the on-the-field action. So subscribe to the 92.3 The Fan channel on YouTube now and get all the latest from Daryl Ryder on the Browns throughout the football season. Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. Coming up in about 17 minutes, we're going to get to Get a Grip, as we always do at 9 o'clock. Again, Matt Verderam of Sports Illustrated also joining us coming up here at 9:20. A lot still to get to in the back half of the show. We'll also react to the Cavs when they're wrapped up, taking on the Raptors over at Rocket Arena tonight. But I was asking you guys at 216-474-0092, does it actually feel like, you know, Kevin is basically getting fed up with Dylan Gabriel? And again, I don't feel that way. I don't know that he shouldn't feel that way. I mean, I'm getting fed up with Dylan Gabriel. I'm about fully fed up with Dylan Gabriel at this point. But I think when you're in the building and you have the affinity for that type of player that you do when you're Kevin and you went in there and you drafted him, make sure you got him, there's a level of trust there and there's a level of wanting to see him progress and get better. It's just like when it's the same problem every week and when the play decreases over and over again, it gets hard to see. But I also think that out of all the ways you could go through and you could fix a Browns quarterback situation, it's always been very clear to me that, like, you don't do it any other way by drafting the guy, right? And whether or not that's going to be Dylan, probably not. Whether or not that's going to be Shador, if we're being honest about it, also probably not. Or, you know, a guy that you draft in the first round next year, which is hopefully, you know, if we're lucky, that's the answer. If it's Shador, we're lucky, that's the answer. Hopefully one guy within this year, next year, that ends up being. But it also boggles my brain when people go outside of that line of thought and go elsewhere. And I want to play something from you from Daniel Jeremiah. That he was talking on the Rich Eisen show and threw out an idea that it wouldn't just be the Browns, you know, not taking a first-round pick, not using that idea to rebuild their quarterback spot, but instead going the reclamation project route. The name he threw out was absolutely diabolical, though. Here it is.
I would say let's see how this plays out with the rest of this quarterback class. We'll see where they're picking. And then at that point in time, you're either laying the groundwork, you know, more foundational pieces for when that quarterback comes. You've got a chance to build up that offensive line. You've got a chance to add some weapons. You know, that would be kind of the place that I would go, is instead of reaching for a quarterback, I would try and lay more foundation there. And then maybe you take your shot on one of these reclamation projects, you know, that are out there. I think I've told you this before, Rich, but like, yeah, maybe it's because I know him and I've been close to him because Coach Harbaugh and Joe Ortiz brought him on board, but I haven't given up on Trey Lance, and maybe I'm on an island there, but that's a guy who was picked up there for a reason. The only knock on him was he didn't play. He didn't play a lot, didn't have a lot of experience, and he was raw. But he's big, he's athletic, he's got a huge arm, he's smart, he's high character. To me, and rather than reach for a quarterback you might like, not love, I'd rather continue to build up the foundation in this draft and then take a flyer on someone like that.
I can tell you right now, hey, I'm not in the reclamation project business basically at all. I don't like that idea, even though we've seen much more successful reclamation projects in the last few years. Obviously, you know, Sam Darnold, Baker, you go through and look at even Daniel Jones right now as a reclamation project that's working out. Geno Smith, to a degree, even though he looks really bad at the moment, was definitely fine with Seattle. You look at a lot of those guys, and it's kind of the baseline of where Trey Lance was, right? It's a first-round pick who his team had given up on him. He had gone a couple of spots, not really been successful. I don't know what the view is on Trey Lance that you actually think gets better. And most of these guys that we find being reclamation projects just don't happen to be, well, you know, you basically skip on a first-round pick quarterback and you end up going to the reclamation project and it works. Not in a year where it's just littered with what has anybody seen out of Trey Lance? And he hasn't played very much, but what have we seen out of Trey Lance to actually give us any level of confidence that he can be good?
You just said it. I'm so happy you said it. We haven't seen him play. So, I mean, we almost have the same kind of view on Trey Lance that we would of number 12, okay? I actually am not mad at that idea. One, it kind of lets you keep your salaries intact so you can go improve some of these other pieces on the team. I think what we maybe have to understand as Browns fans, while, yes, we've had a struggle at the quarterback position for 25 years, the fact is the rest of the team ain't been that good either. So, I mean, whatever error you want to go through, we've never had consistent all the way around where at least the whole every unit on that side of the ball was good. We've always had where we got a receiver or a great running back, a great linebacker, a great kicker. We ain't never had where just every position group on the field was just solid. We've never had it. So I'm not mad at going to get a quarterback at a under market value on for the money. And then that lets me go if I need to go sign a $20 million right tackle, a $15 million above serviceable guard. We may need another corner because we never know how long Denzel's going to be around. And we definitely need a second safety. Like, we keep doing this rotation thing, but you may need to go get a guy you can just stick back there for 2-3 seasons and not worry about it. So I'm not mad at that idea because of the flexibility it allows you to maneuver after the fact.
So I don't even hate the idea. And I'm generally against reclamation projects, period, just because I even look around the league, like reclamation project quarterbacks don't win Super Bowls, right? Like, even if that does end up being your answer and it's a guy that you're going to end up paying money to, those guys have not gone through and found the high level of success. Jared Goff is the one who we look at that probably has the best chance at actually doing it. It's like, you also look at all of these guys that I've named, right? They found success or some level of it, or at least had a second chance. Like, Baker had levels of success and then was down and out, went through multiple times where he just wasn't good. Jared Goff obviously had a level of success. For crying out loud, I know he had a great defense, but he went to a Super Bowl. And even like Sam Darnold, second opportunity with the Panthers, where he was the starting quarterback. Baker was the starting quarterback with the Panthers. We saw Geno Smith get multiple opportunities, even though they weren't long opportunities to be a starter.
Look how he looked in Seattle, though.
I know, but he looked good. The problem is that the league has pretty much sent me the message on Trey Lance that we're out. Like, most of it has been small opportunity in San Francisco. They moved on from him without a real fight for him. The Chargers brought him in, which obviously he wasn't going to get a chance to start behind Justin Herbert. It's like,
but I like the fact that John Harbaugh picked him up gave me some confidence that, you know what? You do need a solid backup just in case Justin Herbert has to go down for 4 weeks. You know, high ankle sprain, something crazy, right? I need somebody serviceable. The fact that he saw his skill set, his size, and for the money that they could sign him for, I thought that gave me some confidence that, oh, he may not be done if this football guy likes him. I mean, he could have went and picked any of them old college quarterbacks he had on that deep roster in Michigan. The fact that he went and chose a guy who had been on two previous teams, haven't had a lot of success, hasn't had a lot of playing time. And, I mean, the times he played in Dallas, it was garbage time. So, I mean, for as much as I would want to kill him for, his stats probably don't tell you any story as far as hope to think that he's going to pan out. But I like to believe that you've gone from football mind to football mind and they think that there's something in you. I think that would lead me to believe that maybe there's something there.
I don't know. I really haven't ever seen it a ton with Trey Lance. Like, he was a guy who, yeah, we haven't seen him a ton. We also didn't see him play a ton of college ball. It also throws me off to a degree that, like, there was serious conversation about the fact that Trey Lance might be playing in Canada this year. Like, I don't remember what team it was that had his draft rights, or like his rights basically in the CFL if he wasn't going to sign to the team. Might have been the Rough Riders. It was them, or it was the Stampeders. One of them, I'm pretty sure, ended up with the draft rights to Trey Lance. Or the flat out rights to Trey Lance in the CFL. And it was like, there's legitimate thought that you could just get Trey Lance to play in the CFL this year because nobody's going to want him. And basically everywhere he's went, it's not like they've replaced him with, here's a clear, oh, you got to have him type of backup quarterback. Like, he was in Dallas. They replaced him with Joe Milton, who, sure, you can argue high upside. Joe Milton's shown one game in the NFL where he's played, and it was also against mostly a half-starting Buffalo Bills team, but mostly a bench unit of a Buffalo Bills team. That was enough for the Cowboys to be like, yeah, we don't need Trey Lance. We don't need him here again. Even now, it's like, okay, he's sort of the backup in L.A. You only did it because you trust the fact that Justin Herbert's going to be healthy. I don't know that if Justin Herbert went down, they really just roll with Trey Lance or they don't try to go get somebody else. Obviously, you know, you're pretty much past that point now, unless right now on Sunday is Justin Herbert's last game that he plays this season. They'd be stuck with Trey Lance. I just don't see a ton there. And I don't think that's the right pathway back to the Browns being successful. And it honestly, anything other than trying to go out and draft your quarterback, I just don't see as a viable option for you to get better. We look around the NFL and we don't see these type of projects work out to a team where they actually end up winning a Super Bowl. You go through and you either sign these players long-term and then they lead you to years of just being fine or just being good, but you never climb to the level of great. I just don't think that you ever really get there when it comes to these guys. You never get to greatness as a football team. They don't lead you to Super Bowls. So unless there's a clear, easy reclamation project, and it's like he had some success, but his team gave up on him. Like, I thought that's what Daniel Jones was this year. Like, you can go back, look at the big board for quarterbacks for the Browns. I had Daniel Jones very high because I still think there was a lot there for him. And he had played on a Giants team that wasn't very good. Like, I'd be willing to hear out a shot like that, but not in a year like this. Not where you have a first-round pick available to you to take a quarterback. You just go out and take the quarterback and live with it. 216-474-0092. Would you accept any attempt at quarterback that isn't a rookie, whether that be, you know, Dylan or Shador or drafting one next year? Let's go out to the phones. James is in Akron. What's going on, James?
First of all, let me answer that question you just asked. I would not draft a quarterback next year until I knew that these two guys I have right now can't play. I mean, if you look at the NFL, 3/4 of the quarterbacks drafted in the first round don't make it. You're talking about getting a guy now drafted 2 or 3 years ago and give him a shot because he didn't get to play much in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. You're talking about that's a project in itself,
right?
And but my problem is this, and I'm not, and don't get me wrong, I wasn't a Sanders fan at all, not at all. But here's my problem: I'm looking at people downfield open, and Gabriel, either he don't see him or they're not to be thrown to. I have no idea why he's not throwing. Then this last game, he tried to get two people that were downfield, and I noticed that he can throw the ball long, but there's no velocity on the ball. So by the time the ball gets to the receiver, the other guy's there already. So that's telling me that this guy can't throw the ball downfield because he can't get the heat on it to beat the guy there. So we got to do something. And you think I'm the only guy to see it? I'm listening to people call all day long with the same story. It's not that the guy can't throw the ball deep. It's that he can't throw it with any kind of velocity on it to beat the guy. So your guy's open. By the time the ball gets there, your guy's covered because the ball too slow coming. And then that's a big problem. Now, I can't understand why the Browns, if they don't think Sanders can do it, why not cut the guy and get an old guy or older guy that can be a true backup? You're holding this kid back. Let him go. If nobody wants him, let nobody pick him.
And James, we're up against it, so I got to let you go, but I do appreciate the call. I think it's much more of a development thing for Shador, honestly. do think that there's areas there where he's not ready, and hopefully by some point he is ready. He's a fifth-round pick. He's a lottery pick, basically, for the Browns. Again, 216-474-0092. Would you accept any attempt at a quarterback that isn't a rookie of some kind? We'll take your calls on that as well. Get a grip in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick right here on The Fan.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.